Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WPHT-WPHT-HD-WOGL HD3 Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. Yes.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Well, Biden tells another fable, this time about his grandfather, who everybody called Uncle Bozy, and completely makes up a story that's not true. Shocking, I know. Shocking. They'll just dismiss it as just, oh, Joe being Joe. Just another Uncle Joe moment. Welcome to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. As we are watching right now, Alejandro Mayorkas, the impeachment trial is going on in the United States Senate. The articles were delivered yesterday, and the impeachment is going forward. The question here is, will there actually be a real trial, or is Chuck Schumer going to do what Chuck Schumer does and just gloss this over? That's what we're going to find out. Now, I got a big show for you today. And if you listened to me filling in for Levin last night, thank you very much for doing that. We got a lot to chat about today. And we're going to talk to Julie Kelly a little bit later in the show about the January 6th case and the Supreme Court yesterday hearing how whether or not you can use the Sarbanes-Oxley financial reforms after the Enron scandal to prosecute people who were in the Capitol on January 6th. So we'll get into all that as well. Now, Speaker Mike Johnson is making some very, very dumb moves. He's now pushing for Ukraine aid, nothing on the border. Rand Paul now has called for him to step aside. Let me first of all begin by saying that the problem is that we focus on this stuff way too much. I mean, we are into this. You know, I live for this stuff. This is my sports. So politics for me is this is everything. And presidential election years are my favorite years. They really are. I love these years. Every 4 years, I get fired up in a new and unique way. Now, I'm fortunate in the sense that in our area of the country, there's always an election. The New Jersey governor's election will be next year. But presidential election years always make me happy. But you have to remember something. Most people go about their day and they don't really think about politics the same way you and I do. In fact, you know, there's a lot of debate among programmers of talk radio of whether or not you should do more lifestyle topics that everybody can relate to that aren't political in nature. I happen to be of the mindset and you know, my ratings and revenue, I guess, prove I'm correct that you come here for a reason. You're interested in a specific area, current events, and you want to chat about that and you want to have a place to do it and you want to hear about the news of the day. And you're not necessarily looking to have a debate over whether or not deep dish pizza should be called pizza. Although I'm more than happy to have that debate. And the answer is no. That's why it's hard to have a debate. The answer is just no. And Sicilian pizza is different than Chicago deep dish, but deep dish pizza is not pizza, and I'm offended as an Italian that they call it that. But again, I digress. The point is, I think you come here because you want to hear the news of the day. You're interested in this stuff. You find this stuff fascinating. It'd be like turning on sports and they're not talking about sports. You know, you turn on a music station and they're not playing the music you like. So you go someplace else. So I've always approached radio. So I've always thought about it. And that doesn't mean that we don't have other topics that are not in the political realm that we chat about. We chat about all kinds of different things on this show. You know that. All kinds of different things. And sometimes the show goes in a million different directions. But my point is, most people, though, don't know who the hell Mike Johnson is. They don't know who the speaker is. They have no idea if there is a battle to remove him, if there's a battle. They don't know. They don't care. They don't care. It doesn't affect their lives. It doesn't affect them. They are right now going to, like, I was in Costco today. Yeah, I was doing the Costco run and getting all the stuff that we need with three kids. It's a lot. And I'm just amazed at how expensive everything is, even at Costco. Most people just live their lives. They just go about their day. They don't think about politics in the same way that you and I do. They don't think about this stuff. And so if there is an internal firefight over the speakership, and I've seen some of the comments on Twitter and people said, well, it's going to make the Republicans look bad in election year. I don't really think so. I think that most likely no one's going to pay attention to it. It's certainly not going to affect Donald Trump in any way, shape or form if the Republicans have an internal battle over Mike Johnson. The real question, though, is why do we keep why does this keep happening? Why is it that these conservatives, so-called conservatives, get elected speaker and then wind up doing things that just make all of us shake our heads? That's what I'd like to understand. I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. It seems like this consistently happens. And I don't get it. I really don't get it. I don't understand how this happens. It's like one minute this guy's a conservative and he's bashing the FISA warrantless spying on Americans. And then the next minute, he's the guy that's voting to break the tie to let it go forward. And one minute, he's saying Ukraine must be a standalone funding bill. And the next minute, he's turning around and saying, we're going to push a vote for Ukraine and we're not even going to do anything on the border. So I'm confused. I think everybody's confused. But the real question is, why does it keep happening where you've got now, for example, like Scott Perry tweeted out a short time ago, the America Last Act, as the House Freedom Caucus is calling it, of which Mike Johnson was a member, has $481 million for the medical bills and legal fees of Ukrainian refugees coming to the United States. And he said, if you're confused by Speaker Johnson's foreign aid proposal, here's the bottom line. He's putting America last. Here's the overview of what this is going to be. Let me break this down for you. Foreign aid. Process will have open amendments. Foreign aid package will be under one rule. This is expected to require Democrat votes to pass. And all three bills on Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan, plus a fourth bill adding the TikTok ban, the Repo Act, and sanctions on Russia, China, and Iran will be. This is what we're voting on all at once. So, like, for example, like, let's say you're opposed to the TikTok ban, which is not a ban. It's forcing TikTok to come under control of an American company with. So that eventually then Congress can regulate social media. And this will be something we regret one day. Trust me, we will regret this someday. That Democrat Congressman Jake Auchincloss, he said the quiet part out loud. In fact, Matt, pull up that audio for me at some point if you could. He said the quiet part out loud when he said the goal here is to get TikTok under American rule so that we can then take over. Congress can pass a law and regulate all social media companies. That's what they want to do. And we were told there were going to be standalone votes. And that was one of the things Mike Johnson said. But this what the guys before him said, too. We were going to do standalone votes and not these big mega votes. And we were going to take each foreign aid on its own merits. And the reason why is because the American people deserve to hear a robust debate on the merits for each and every one. Stand up there and have a debate on why funding for Israel is important. Stand up there and then take a vote. Have a vote on whether debate Ukraine and then have a vote. Debate Taiwan and then have a vote. I don't think that makes me extreme or radical to just think that we can separate these things. These are different regions of the world. These are different needs. These are different conflicts. These are different expectations. And we're supposed to be debating these things. I mean, isn't that what Congress is supposed to do? Now, look, you can advocate for or against all three of those things. My point is, why do we keep having to put them under one umbrella? That's my problem. I mean, if you want to be out there as an advocate and say, and turn around and say, we have to pass funding for Ukraine, and Israel and Taiwan. You want to be out there and you want to say those things. Okay, that's fine, but they should be voted on separately. If you're of the mindset that we should not be giving money to Israel, Ukraine, or Taiwan, that's fine, but we should be voting on that separately. And if you're of the mindset we should give money to Israel, but not Ukraine, but also to Taiwan, this is why you should be voting on these things separately. The truth is, though, Ukraine funding would not pass on its own. And that's why we're lumping this all together. Funding for Ukraine would not pass on its own. I almost think that, I guess what happens is you become the speaker and you're conservative. You've been a fighter for freedom, and then you get in there and then they take you to the back room and they show you the secret scrolls, I guess. All the secrets of everything. And then suddenly now your eyes change. Or the swamp like immediately goes and kidnaps your children or something and holds them hostage. I can't figure it out, but something happens. And then suddenly now all the things that bothered a guy as a member of Congress 5 minutes ago are all the things he's doing now as speaker. And I don't get it. I just don't understand what happens, what that transition is. Like, do they go through some sort of cleansing where they, like, their mind gets zapped like in Men in Black and now they're just there to do the swamp's bidding? Because clearly Ukraine funding is at the behest of the military industrial complex. I mean, that's who's behind it. That's who wants it. And they know it's not going to pass on its own. There's just not enough Republican support in the House for it. Because the American people are saying, we don't know where this goes. We don't know when this ends. We don't know how much is going to be spent here. And they've lost interest in this. It's not that they want Putin to win. They've just lost interest in America being the one to fund the bills here. But the speaker knows it can't pass on its own, which is why he's putting these other votes there, because he knows that he's going to trap members into having to vote. Otherwise, they're going to look like they're voting against aid to Israel. I don't know what happens, what the process is by which you become the speaker. You get that gavel and that gavel winds up taking over. I can't figure it out, because it gets worse. On the border, there's going to be a separate rule with open amendments will include components of H.R. 2, border security, but that'll pass with Republican votes only. Expected to include Remain in Mexico, Title 42, and the election integrity proposal, which includes a voter ID component. That's all good. That's all great stuff. But it's not tied to the other stuff. So in other words, Democrats can vote yay on Ukraine funding, but no on border. See, this is what I don't understand. Why not force them? If you're gonna go down this road, why not force them to have to vote on the border if they want their Ukraine money? We're not even doing that. So that means that the border bill is going to be dead. That means that this is dead on arrival. What'll happen is it'll pass the House maybe and then die in the Senate. And then the foreign funding will pass the House and then live in the Senate. And then Joe Biden will sign that into law. That's what's going to happen. And we'll pretend like we're all going to cheer for the H.R. 2, the border security bill. We're going to cheer for this, knowing that it's dead on arrival in the Senate. And that Biden's not going to go for it. And that Chuck Schumer's not going to go for it. So what's the game we're playing here? The expectation is foreign aid stuff goes to the Senate as one package. So Schumer can't pick and choose what he takes up, then border stuff will be sent separately. So basically now what we're going to have here is we're going to have a situation where we're going to send a major, massive funding bill. And again, you could be all for that. I'm not taking issue with that if that's your thing, but it's going to be all at once, and it's not going to even be tied to forcing the Democrats' hands on the border. We've once again figured out how to commit political suicide. We're very good at this. We're very good at giving away our hand. Like, I would never want to play poker with these people. Actually, I would want to play poker with these people because they're terrible. They're terrible at this. They blink at the first sign of being called chicken. They just blink. Like if there was old, in the movies, used to have the cars where they would go head on, you know, until somebody would veer out of the way. I feel like these Republicans, Johnson would, as soon as the other guy started driving, would get out of the car and just run. He wouldn't even start driving towards the other driver. He would just run. So this is what he said. After significant member feedback and discussion, the House Rules Committee will be posting soon today the text of three bills that will fund America's national security interests and allies in Israel, the Indo-Pacific, and Ukraine, including a loan structure for aid and enhanced strategy and accountability. These will be brought to the floor under a structured rule that will allow for an amendment process alongside a fourth bill that includes the Repo Act, TikTok bill, sanctions, and other measures to confront Russia, China, and Iran. Now, what happens if I'm against the TikTok bill? Because it's a Patriot Act in sheep's clothing, but I want to do measures to confront Russia, China, and Iran. So what do I got to do? I got to vote for it. See, this is also the game, because otherwise they're going to turn around and say, oh, you were soft on China. You were soft on Russia. You were soft on Iran. This is a way to get members to go along with something which is not in our best interest. Banning TikTok, which is not a ban, it's a forced sale of a company to an American company for the purposes of them being able to then control that company through legislation. This is not in the best interest of freedom. This is not in the best interest of freedom of speech. Trust me on this. We will regret this one day. But if you feel that way, your hands are now going to be tied, because they're going to lump that in with, what the hell does a TikTok ban have to do with Iran? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But they're going to put it all together to force people's hands. And he says, by posting the text of these bills as soon as they are completed, we will ensure time for a robust amendment process. We expect the vote on final passage of these bills to be on Saturday evening. Thank you for your feedback and support. I value every member of this conference, and I look forward to continuing our work together. And he's getting, and people are very, very upset by how this is going. Remember, we were told that Ukraine aid would be given in the form of a loan. According to the just released bill, the president can forgive 50% of the loan after November of this year, and then the whole thing in 2026. That's a nice loan. Do you have that loan with your mortgage company? I'm just curious. We're going to forgive Ukraine loans like we forgive student debt loans. So we're going to say it's a loan so that Republican members of Congress who want to see Ukraine funding keep going can go back to their constituents and say, oh, no, this is just a loan. Oh, no, Ukraine's going to pay it back. And then their constituents at a town hall meeting will clap and go, that's great, good. Yeah, we got to have them pay it back. All right, well done, Congressman. Except Biden can forgive 50% of the loan after November of this year and the whole thing in November of 2026. This is where we are. This is where we are again. So you understand why conservatives right now are furious at the speaker. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I reject the notion that if there's a fight, the American people are somehow going to all be paying attention to this. I'm of the opinion this is what we call inside baseball. This is inside baseball stuff. Nobody outside of us cares. And it's certainly not going to have any ramifications on Donald Trump and the election. None whatsoever. I'm just saying that because if you are worried about that, if you are angry about Mike Johnson, but you're hearing the other people out there who are saying things like, we can't do this right now, we have to just focus on Biden. Two separate issues. Focus on Biden has nothing to do with what goes on over a battle for Speaker of the House. I'm not saying that this is what should happen, because I don't know. I really don't. I don't know if it's going to make a difference. I don't know. I really don't. It's like if you give, all of a sudden, it's like Matt Gaetz becomes speaker and he goes into the back room and they show him the secret scrolls and give him the gavel and he comes out and maybe he starts doing the same stuff. I really don't know. I can't figure it out. I just know that something happens to these guys. Something happens. Like the swamp grabs them and pulls them in and then just infuses their body with the swampiness. They get swamp injections or something. But the one thing the American people will get annoyed about is if we keep funding Ukraine. That will continue to annoy the American people. That will have ramifications. They don't want this. The reason why Donald Trump is winning is because Donald Trump wants to end the war. That's part of the reason why he's winning. And we have to wake up to that fact. I mean, we got to wake up to this. And you know, to keep doing this over and over again and pretend and fool everybody by going, well, it's really just going to be a loan. Loan forgiveness for Ukraine, like loan forgiveness for student debts. I can't, my mortgage is not going to be forgiven. My tax dollars that are going to have to pay for this, those taxes are not going to be forgiven. You know, whatever I have to pay as an American taxpayer, my fair share of the Ukraine funding bill, whatever that is, that's not going to be forgiven. And if that loan is forgiven to Ukraine, who's paying that? Me. And then I'm not getting forgiveness for that. Ukraine's getting forgiveness, but somebody has to make good on that money. Twice to say student loan debt relief is a misnomer. It's not relief. You're transferring it. You're transferring it to somebody else. Somebody has to pay the bill. Or we just, just add it to the tab. Just add it to my tab, you know? Uncle Sam's tab, which seems to be endless. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. We got a lot to chat about today, no doubt about it. And I want to hear from you, so we will hear from you indeed. You can keep the conversation going on Twitter as well, at Rich Zeoli. And this is the big story of the day today. It's brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. And remember that sleazeball member of Congress, member of the Pennsylvania legislature who had a meltdown? Well, there's charges against him now. I'll tell you about that. That came out yesterday as we were getting off the air. But I'm happy about that. So we'll talk about that as the show continues today as well. So we got a lot of good local and national stuff for you. And Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill is the absolute best place to go right now for their renovation special. If you've been by Cherry Hill Volvo, you may have noticed the dealership renovation. You certainly have noticed the road construction. Route 70, they're doing a big renovation on the road. But please do not let that dissuade you. Because once you get in, once you get there, you're going to find that the dealership is still as comfortable and welcoming as ever, even in trailers. I can tell you firsthand because I recently picked up my new XC60 and it was a great experience. It's amazing. Business is great at Cherry Hill Volvo, despite the renovation and the road construction. Trust me, Judith is going to make it up to you. Judith Krupnik, Yosef Cohen, the whole team, they're going to make it up to you, whatever inconvenience you have to deal with, and it's not much. Through the renovation, through the road construction, they're going to make it up to you with some of the absolute best sales they've ever had, some of the best incentives they've ever had at Cherry Hill Volvo. And they are loaded with offers for spring on top of their already aggressive pricing. Their renovation sale continues, and their pricing is always aggressive and a great inventory to choose from. Certified pre-owned Volvos, S-Class, XC40, XC60, and the XC90, that third row family car that Bridget drives. When you choose Cherry Hill Volvo, you are choosing the pricing and attention that you deserve. They're right across the bridge. Go see them today. And remember, they stand with us, and we stand with them. Cherry Hill Volvo.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Zeoli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
So there's an arrest warrant out for State Representative Kevin Boyle, Democrat, for violating a PFA, Protection from Abuse Order. And he has yet to turn himself into police. That is the latest on that. I'll share more details with you on that throughout the show today. That's a local story of a lunatic Democrat who's now wanted by the cops. On the federal level, though, look, I don't have the answer. I don't know what the answer is. You know, I appreciate you come to me for answers, and I thank you for that. I don't know what the answer is because it seems like this keeps happening. Seems like we're in this loop where we get these conservatives who become speakers and then they just wind up placating the Democrats. And I don't know. I don't know what's happened. Democrats are saying they'll save Mike Johnson. So I don't think Johnson's going anywhere because Hakeem Jeffries has already said that he'll make sure Johnson stays because they're getting the Ukraine funding, and that's the deal. So they're happy about that. Plus, they know the border bill is dead on arrival. So I don't know what to say. I mean, it's frustrating. It's incredibly frustrating. It really is. And Donald Trump is sitting in court. We have jurors chosen. I'll go through some of the jurors for you. Their identities now are being known, and it's very possible that these people may be unmasked at some point. But I don't have an answer in terms of what happens with the Speaker of the House, because it seems as if they just all wind up playing the same game. I just know that I'm very disappointed in what they put out here. I'm extremely disappointed. I wanted up or down votes on these funding bills separately. I wanted up or down votes on TikTok. I wanted up or down votes on sanctions of China, Iran. I wanted up or down votes on the Repo Act. I wanted up or down votes. I thought we were getting that. That's what I thought we were getting, you know, and I was excited about that. I was excited about the prospect of that. And I thought, hey, great. You know, that's what we need. And I'm not getting that again. And I feel duped. And I'm sure you're frustrated as well by it. I can certainly tell by some of the conservative members of the House of Representatives that they're incredibly furious right now. Let's go through some of the jurors, shall we? Seven jurors for Donald Trump's hush money case were selected Tuesday afternoon, a pace that could clear the way for trial testimony to begin next week. Three women and four men have been chosen so far for a jury that will be the first ever to decide criminal charges against the president. Now, there might be an update to this story, actually. Trump jury. I got to see if have they picked anyone today, Matt DeSantis, you know, have they picked anybody?
I haven't seen, but let me check.
Okay.
Last I saw, there wasn't any update.
All right. So what we know about the first seven jurors, here's what we know about the first seven. And the key about this, of course, is that a lot of them, they had to tell where they get their news sources from. So juror number one is the four person. Juror number one was selected as four person, meaning he will preside over the jury deliberations and act as the communicator with the court. He gave some of the most anodyne answers to the 42-part questionnaire and direct voir dire, whatever they call it, the lawyers call it, which is when they do the jury selection process. According to pool descriptions, juror number one showed up to court on Monday in a black T-shirt and carrying a black backpack. He's from Ireland. He now lives in West Harlem. Juror number one is married with no kids and said he gets his news from the New York Times, the Daily Mail, Fox News, and MSNBC. Now, the first and fourth responses may be why the prosecution was okay with having him on the jury. The second and third answers may be why the defense was. During his individual questioning, juror number one was brief and to the point. When asked what he knew or thought of some of the other Trump criminal cases, juror number one replied, "I've heard of some of them, yeah." When asked if he had an opinion of them, he said, "None at all." Juror number two is a native New Yorker and oncology nurse who lives on the Upper East Side with her fiance and a dog. I will tell you that typically Republicans live on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. If you were to look at New York City from a 30,000 foot view, the Upper East Side is kind of the Republican stronghold of Manhattan. I don't know if she is a Republican or not. I'm just saying that's where they tend to live. She gets her news from the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and Google. When asked if she would accept evidence and give it due weight when it comes from witnesses with questionable backgrounds, such as a tabloid publisher, a former adult film star, and a scumbag lawyer like Michael Cohen, she responded, "I'm going to say no. I'm going to listen to all the facts. Whatever outside influences there are, they're not going to influence me here." When asked as to whether she had any opinions of President Trump, she responded, "I don't really have one, especially in this courtroom. I think he should be treated as anyone else, and nobody is above the law." When pressed on that question, she did not give an answer about Trump, but said, I'm here for my civic duty and not let anything persuade me either way. Juror number three is an unmarried man without kids, described by the jury pool as an Asian man with black hair, in his late 20s or 30s, wearing a purple jacket. Juror number three works as a corporate attorney, lives in Chelsea, likes outdoorsy activities, and gets his news from the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and Google. Seems to be a pattern here. During the individual questioning, juror number three told prosecutors that he understood that you don't need to read somebody's mind as a juror to discern criminal intent, which will be a giant crux of the district attorney's case. I'm not super familiar with the other charges, he responded when asked about the other criminal cases against Trump. I don't really follow the news that closely, unfortunately. It was quite fortunate for the court because that's what they were looking for. Now, Chelsea's a interesting little neighborhood. It's kind of the, I think you described, there's a lot of, there's good bagels there. Murray's Bagels. Remember that? That's in Chelsea. Juror number four, this is perhaps the most interesting character of the entire seated jury so far. Juror number four is Puerto Rican born, but has lived in the Upper West Side for 40 years. He went to college for a single year, works in IT, and without prompting, joked that he has been married a long time. He reads the New York Daily News. Ooh, that's the liberal one of the two. The New York Times, Google, and Twitter. I guess my hobby is my family, he said, though juror number four had previously served on a jury he did not remember because it was so long ago. When asked about his opinion of Trump, juror number four said, I find him fascinating, which drew laughter in the press overflow room. He walks into a room and he sets people off one way or the other. Really, this one guy can do all of this? Wow, he said. Juror number five is a Harlem born and raised school teacher. According to pool reporters, she is a black woman in her late 20s. She previously worked as a caseworker in a juvenile delinquent transitional home, and her boyfriend coaches a basketball team. She listens. By the way, I just have to ask a question. These are very specific details. How long until we know the identities of these jurors? By 7 o'clock tonight, you think? I mean, this is incredibly, right, Matt DeSantis? These are very specific details they're giving here.
Yeah, I didn't think we were supposed to know all of this.
I didn't think so either. This is from Slate.com. I don't know how all this got out there, but didn't you tell me there was a story where they're worried that their identities will be unmasked very soon?
Yeah, it was a CNN analyst, actually, said that there was too much information readily available from the get-go and that he suspected that eventually we would have every bit of information on all of these jurors and that it was up to the DA and the judge to, stifle the amount of information that the media is receiving. I have the clip if you want it.
Yeah, let's play it after I go through the other two jurors here. So juror number five, Harlem born and raised teacher. I mentioned that. She listens to inspirational pop culture podcasts and sometimes The Breakfast Club. That's the show with Charlemagne the God. And Charlemagne the God has been very critical of Joe Biden lately. As for now, her opinion of Trump might impact her ability to serve as a juror. She responded, quote, there was a divide in this country. I can't ignore that. But she said, I never equated that to one individual and that she can be impartial. Juror number five was the only one who raised her hands when the jurors were asked if they hadn't heard of Trump's other criminal cases. When asked if she could give Trump a fair shake and start off at zero, she cut off the attorney to say, I don't think it's difficult. She then was asked to expand on her opinion of Trump and said, quote, my response is always President Trump speaks her mind. President Trump speaks his mind. You'd rather that than the alternative. Juror number six. Now, remember, the prosecution and the defense have to agree, and they each get a certain number of strikes. But essentially, they both have to agree on the juror, and one of them can kill a juror if the prosecution objects. And they have there's a limit to that. But these are the seven people that so far both sides have agreed to, the defense and the prosecution. Juror number six is a native New Yorker who lives in Chelsea and works as a software engineer. She's a snowboarder and also dances as a hobby. Juror number six gets her news from the New York Times, Google, Facebook, and TikTok. When asked whether she had any strong opinions or firmly held beliefs about former President Donald Trump, juror number six audibly laughed, indicated yes, and added, but I will be fair and impartial. And finally, juror number seven. lives on the Upper East Side and is originally from North Carolina. He is a big law civil litigator. According to the Pool Report, he presents as white, tanned, and in his late middle age. He is balding with close-cropped hair and wears glasses. He reads the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Post, and the Washington Post, and listens to WNYC, that is the local NPR affiliate up there in New York, and also podcasts including Smartless and Car Talk. When asked if his expertise as a lawyer would influence his ability to serve as a juror in this case, basically whether or not he'd override the judge's rulings about the law with his own feelings about them, he responded that he'd follow the judge's instructions. He said, "I'm a civil litigator, which means I know virtually nothing about criminal law." As for his opinions of Trump, juror number 7 said, "I don't know the man and I don't have any particular opinions about him personally. He liked some of Trump's policies and didn't like others. I certainly follow the news. I am certainly aware that there are other lawsuits out there. I'm not sure I really know anything about his character." Those are the 7 jurors who have been seated so far in the trial, the criminal trial against Donald Trump. And remember something. He has to be in that courtroom every day. Criminal trial requires him to be in that courtroom every day. And this could last up to 2 months, they're saying. So what you're doing here is you're taking the guy off the field. You're taking the Republican nominee for president of the United States. And he is. I mean, there's a formality at the convention, but he is the Republican nominee for president of the United States. He's the chief rival to Joe Biden. And while Joe Biden's in Scranton yesterday campaigning, and whatever Joe Biden is today, Donald Trump is sitting in a New York City courtroom. And I know there's enthusiasm out there thinking maybe Trump can flip New York. I don't need him to flip New York. I need him to win Pennsylvania. What I need is for him to get to Pennsylvania and start campaigning. And they can't. They won't let him because they won't let him leave the court. They won't let him leave New York. He has to stay there for the trial. And I think that is completely unfair. They have found a way to take him off the playing field. Now, it's Trump, so he's able to use that to his advantage. And I think going to the bodega last night in Harlem, where Jose Alba was charged with murder by the district attorney, Alvin Bragg, who's the one prosecuting Trump, I think that was a brilliant move. I'm sure by now you've heard that, what happened. This was the guy who, remember, that woman came in, thought the clerk was rude, brought her thug boyfriend back, who started to get in the guy's face, and he was very worried for his safety, and he stabbed him. And then she stabbed Jose Alba, the clerk worker, and he was charged with murder, and he had a $500,000 bail. Couldn't make bond, obviously. It's too much money. He's a clerk. Freaking bodega. So he was stuck in Rikers Island, traumatized by the whole thing. He's in the Dominican Republic. He was a Dominican Republic immigrant, and he's still there. The whole thing's been traumatic for him. And Trump went to that bodega, and he talked to the owners, and he blasted New York City crime, and he blasted Alvin Bragg. And I think it was a brilliant PR move. See, Trump is good. I mean, he can use these things to his opportunity. He's very good about that. But philosophically, I have a problem. I really do. I have a problem with the notion that the government can take the Republican nominee for president of the United States off the playing field. I don't think it's fair to democracy. I mean, you keep hearing the left scream about democracy. First of all, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. But nevertheless, let's play the game for a moment, shall we? We keep hearing the left scream about democracy. How is it in democracy's best interest to keep... We have a two-party system in this country. Like it or not, we do. We have a two-party system. So you're keeping 50% of the two players. You're keeping half of the players on the bench, right in the heart of the election season. How is that fair to the voters? How are they supposed to make a determination? And you put a gag order on the guy, so you can't even talk about the trial. He can't even go out there and blast the government for what's going on. So how can you tell me this is fair in the United States of America? There's nothing fair about this. Well, now you know who the jurors are. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Set your calendar. Mark your calendar right now. We are going to have our next live show. First one of the year on Friday, May 3rd. I am so excited to go back to my happy place and to see you there for our live show. And if you want to de-stress, enjoy life and take in the ocean air, make lifetime memories with your family and friends, then book your getaway to the beautiful Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Book a June midweek stay. And don't forget, we're going to be there for a live show Friday, June 21st. So you could stay that whole week and then cap it off with the show. Stay 3 nights, get $60 a night in resort credit. Stay 5 nights, get $70 a night. Stay 7 nights and receive $80 a night in resort credit. You can use these resort credits to make purchases of food and beverages in Hemingway's restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, beach concession stand, or in the gift shop where you can get passes for a whale-watching boat cruise. Book direct with them for the best rates, and the Grand is also the perfect place to have a wedding. Oh, man, storybook, beautiful, beachfront weddings. My friend Caitlin will help you make the most beautiful day. Baby showers, bridal showers, you name it. With four ballrooms, you have the perfect space to make lifetime memories. To book your stay today at the beautiful Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, call 800-257-8550 or visit them online at grandhotelcapemay.com. Grandhotelcapemay.com, and we'll see you there Friday, May 3rd for our first live show of the year, 3 to 7 p.m., grandhotelcapemay.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
You know, look, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the speaker thing because until there's an actual effort to remove him or vote or something, I have no control over this. I'm not a member of the House. And I've seen the tweets and it seems everybody's very divided on it. My only point is it's just I'm disappointed and it seems like it keeps happening. And it's just like Groundhog Day. It's like freaking Groundhog Day over and over again. But I don't know if anything's really going to happen. I'm not sure it should happen because I don't know. I don't know if that makes it better. I really don't. And I don't know if there's a better option. And I don't know if that person will then wind up going down the same road as Mike Johnson. But the only thing I do know, just to reassure you, is that if it does get to that point, the American people are not going to care. That's the one saving grace I can tell you, is that nobody cares. Outside of us, outside of the people that follow this like we do, nobody cares. They don't even know who Mike Johnson is. They really don't. And if there's a battle over speaker, they're not going to care. They're worried about Little League and whether or not they're going to get to their kid's game tonight, whether or not they're going to be able to afford groceries. And there's a lot of things they're worried about. It's not that. Believe me. So just remember, just keep that, if nothing else, to calm you should things heat up. But until they do, I'm really not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. Now, why is the jury selection going so quickly for Trump? And is it going quickly? Well, Andy McCarthy said that they thought it would take weeks to seat a jury. But it turns out that having seven already is actually a good sign. And by the end of yesterday, we had the seven jurors. They still need five additional jurors plus six alternate jurors. This matters because the longer this trial goes on, the longer you're taking the Republican nominee for president of the United States off the playing field. And philosophically, I told you I have a real problem with that. I've got a real problem with that because I don't like this idea that he's off the field. It doesn't matter. I know. And I get it. I mean, Trump can command the cameras and Trump can use it as advantage. But philosophically, I have a problem with it. I don't think it's American to have the Republican nominee for president to be benched in the middle of the game. So it's just wrong. It's what they do in tyrannical dictatorships. The government uses courts to keep their opponents in jail, keeps their opponents in court, keeps their opponents from being out there among the people and the voters. That's literally what's happening. I mean, thank God we live in an age of cameras and social media, but imagine if we didn't. Imagine if this was the 90s and we didn't have social media and didn't have the ability for a clip of Trump to go viral from what he said in Harlem last night. Think of that. Think of that disadvantage. See, because as I was saying this last night on Levin's show, people were tweeting me and saying, yeah, but Rich, he can hold a press conference and, you know, he can drive to PA and he can do all these things. Yes, you're right. But my point is, philosophically, it's wrong. And thank God we live in an age of social media and he's able to do those things. But what if we didn't? What if it was the 90s and you just had to rely on the mainstream media as it was back then? ABC, CBS, NBC, and maybe Fox in its burgeoning days, and MSNBC when it was not this iteration of MSNBC. And you have the Republican nominee for president in court all day. Think of the advantage that would give the Democrat. So it's antithetical to our political system that this is allowed to happen. It's antithetical to democracy. For all these people screaming about democracy, just ask, how is this fair to the voters? The voters have to make a choice, a binary choice. I'm sorry, but if you vote third party, you're wasting your vote. I know you don't like to hear that, but you are. So voters have to make a binary choice for president, and they need to hear from both of these candidates. One of them can't speak, and the other one can't speak because he's in a courtroom. So it's just not American, and I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. And everybody who sits there and says that, you know, it's no big deal, it's only 2 months. 2 months is a long time. And not only that, but 2 months of people seeing images of Trump in court starts painting a picture in people's minds of Trump in a courtroom. I'm not talking about you or me. I'm talking about the people whose votes we need who may not like the guy, but really hate Joe Biden's policies. I don't want them seeing sketches every day of Trump in a courtroom. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to him as a candidate. And it's not. All right, coming up, Joe Biden makes up another tall tale, another lie about a family member of his. Shocking, I know. And the TikTok bill, why it is the Patriots Act in sheep's clothing and should die on the vine. Plus, local representative Kevin Boyle, an arrest warrant for him. Remember, he was the guy yelling at a bar, "Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?" Well, now the cops are looking for him, and they know who he is. We got a big 4 o'clock hour for you straight ahead. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.